Live in the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios, this is Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3.
This team is going to be tough when they finally get it together.
Sit back and relax. Let Russo and Rizzo take you home.
Oh, mercy!
Light him up, Colin!
Live down here in Sunrise, Florida, Amaranth Bank Arena, we got the Capitals, Panthers. Panthers back in town after coming back from Vegas in a West Coast road trip. It's Colin Russo and Mike Rizzo with you. It's Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3. We're on the concourse on the suite level here at Amaranth Bank, having a good time. Got a good game ahead of us tonight at 7 p.m. Yet the Florida Panthers, who are sitting there looking to get back into their flow of things, they haven't been able to stack wins. They're sitting at 8-7-1, only 17 points on the year. And the Capitals are sitting at the same, 8-7-1. The Panthers have shown a lot of greatness and also shown moments where, all right, this team's hurt, and you could see it, you could feel it. We'll get into a little bit of that. We got a couple guests from throughout Amaranth Bank, from throughout the Panthers organization throughout the day. We got a guest-laden show today for the next 2 hours on ESPN 106.3. We're streaming live on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter/X at ESPN West Palm, ESPN South Florida, and the ESPN South Florida app, which you could download today on the App Store. We also have football tonight. And it's a good one. We got Jets-Patriots, where the Patriots are maybe the hottest
team.
Hang on.
You're not buying the Jets in their big win over the Cleveland Browns?
They played well recently, 2 in a row. 8-2 New England Patriots against the 2-7 New York Jets, 8:15 Prime Video.
Who knew? All they needed to do to get a big win was trade their whole team and play the Cleveland Browns. You know, and I actually think this might be a game. I want to look into that blind with our good friends at Hard Rock Bet. I do. I might consider. I don't think they're going to win the game.
It's about two touchdowns.
Oh, my God. I'm not going to take them to win the game.
I'm surprised you're so in on this.
Oh, my God. I mean, they're playing inspired. They're playing inspired.
They're at the Patriots, though.
Playing inspired. They play the division well, right? They play that godforsaken division well.
Do they?
Play the Dolphins tough.
I don't know, man.
It'll be okay.
I don't know. The way I look at this game is, I mean, the Patriots haven't seen them yet. The Patriots are coming off a huge road win. The one thing I would buy is maybe a little bit of a hangover effect from that game at Tampa. You're winning at Tampa. That's an emphatic victory. But you thought the same after the Buffalo game, and they were able to respond after that. So I don't necessarily know if I see it, because the Patriots, ever since those first 2 weeks of the year, have been as good as any team in the entire league. And you can't just chalk it up, oh, they've played bad teams. They've played the Titans. They've played the Browns. You know, they've been, you know, sweeping up on the lower tier of the NFL. They've beaten Tampa at Tampa, and they've beaten Buffalo at Buffalo. I would say if there are three teams in the entire league, we talked about it a little earlier in the week, if there are three teams that are as good as any, as hot as any at this time, you look no further than the L.A. Rams. You look no further than the Seattle Seahawks. You look no further than the New England Patriots. Number four would probably be Indianapolis. But Indianapolis, to me, is starting to show, after that Pittsburgh game, you could even see it in that overtime win against Atlanta over the weekend, they're starting to bleed a little bit. They're not as formidable, not as dangerous as they once were. Patriots haven't showed that. The Patriots haven't necessarily tripped 1 point in the last couple weeks.
Hear me out on the Jets here. All right. Their last couple of games, Broncos lost 13-11.
Right.
Panthers lost 13-6.
Right.
Bungles lost 39-38.
Won that game.
Browns win 27-20. They've been in their last four games. Now, maybe the Patriots are a different team. This is a primetime game. This is Thursday Night Football. It's a short week. If I had to take that ridiculous spread, I probably would be going with the Jets tonight. I actually think it might be a pretty decent game. We're hoping, because you know what? Last Thursday was the most godforsaken Thursday night game you'll ever see.
Thursday night's had a bad year. They've had a bad year.
Which is strange, because, listen, when it first started, it's like, oh, my God, it's an unwatchable product.
That Niner-Ram game was a good game. Like, there hasn't been a lot of good ones.
But, like, what I'm saying is, last year they weren't bad. You know, last year we were kind of spoiled with some of those Thursday night games. This year it's not been that. And especially with that game last week with Broncos and Raiders, I didn't watch the fourth quarter.
And the week before was that Viking game, which was awful.
Yep.
Awful game.
And anytime J.J. McCarthy
it was Carson
ran
Wentz
off.
That game. It
doesn't matter who's playing quarterback for the Minnesota Vikings at this point. Just ask Justin Jefferson and my fantasy team. But regardless, I do think tonight's going to be a pretty decent game. I think they kind of get that off their back, and it's going to be a game in Foxborough.
Low scoring, ugly?
Probably.
Patriots
I don't know the weather report.
Patriots are due to slip up.
I don't know the weather report, but knowing how some of these games have went. Now, I say that, you know, the Bengals and the Jets got into a shootout. You know, the Browns and the Jets are points here. He's, you know, he put up 27 points. But I maybe could see it more like a Panther and a Bronco game when they face them, 13-11, 13-6. My bets tonight would probably be Jets and under.
Is Jake May a favorite to you to win the MVP at this point in time?
I mean, who else are you going to give it to?
Stafford. Or Jonathan Taylor.
You know, it's a quarterback. The reason I ask,
I believe it's 14 straight. It's since Peterson won it, right, that there was the last non-quarterback to win the award.
The reason I ask is because if you're not giving it to Saquon Barkley last year, you're probably not giving it to Jonathan Taylor this year. I think it's a wide open award. I'm not ready to. I think we still need to play more games, obviously. But right now, it's hard to argue that. Right? It's hard to argue that. Like, who's been the best two teams in the respectable conferences? It's probably been the Rams, with all due respect to the Eagles, and it's probably been the Patriots.
The Seahawks, too.
Yeah, that too. There are a lot of good teams in the NFC.
But to me, if I had to put a vote down today, Stafford's probably due for his. He's due for that moment, and he's 37 years old. He's playing the best. I believe he's got 25 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. I'll double-check that. But he's playing probably the best football of his entire career. Should have won that Eagle game in Philadelphia. They were up 26-9 in the early third quarter, and they squandered that game. I mean, this team, a couple plays away, and I think that game against Seattle on Sunday will be a good litmus test to see where the Rams stand, number one, and two, where Stafford stands. Because if I had to place a bet today, that's probably my MVP.
And that's that game of the week. I mean, that's the game of the week. Yeah,
good Sunday game.
Yeah.
You got Jags, Chargers, which are good games. You got the Lions, Eagles as the night slate, which is going to be a good one. You have Seahawks, Rams.
Yep.
It's going to be good. And you also got Broncos, Chiefs.
And last week you had Tampa Bay and New England. You had a couple of matchups that lived up to the bill. But quickly back to Stafford and your point, Kyle. 2,400 passing yards, 25 touchdowns, 2 picks. He's been sacked 14 times, too. I mean, you look back before the season started. The conversation was, oh, my God, it's Stafford's back in the last 3 games, let alone a whole season.
And look, he's as healthy as he's ever been.
That's what I mean. And look what he's been able to put together. Now we're understanding why McVay signed him that 2-year deal, right? Or I say McVay, but the Rams, you know, the Rams in general. And then before the season, it was like, oh, they're going to go out and get Darnold. Remember, I bought into it. I bought into, listen, you know, Stafford, is he on the trading block? Is he going to be a Ram next year? I think all those things have been answered. You know, what is it, week 11?
Stafford's done when he says he's done.
And the Rams have
no reason to do that. They're going to operate with him with good faith.
Correct. And especially with how well the run game has been with Kyren Williams and Blake Corum this year, too. I mean, and Pacua and Nacua. I mean, Nick, you're a big fan of Nacua.
Davante Adams.
I mean, yeah. Is he a Hall of Famer, by the way? I heard that. I know that's another conversation for another day. I heard Tom Brady say it on the broadcast last Sunday.
I think he's probably a 3-time first team All-Pro. He probably is.
And he's back in form, you know, with about 500 yards and 9 touchdowns. He's got 9 touchdowns this year. So he's been that red zone threat. I like what I see from them. I like what I see from the whole division with everybody that's not named Arizona.
You know, through basically everybody's played about 9 games, maybe 10 if you haven't had your bye yet. But entering week 11, definitely into that second half of the year, holiday season, I would look at May, Stafford, and Taylor. And that order to me would be Stafford, May, and Taylor in that. Mm. So that would be my MVP ladder right now. And, you know, the thing about the Patriots is they're the beneficiaries of a last-place schedule. A last-place schedule turning good. We talk about the worst of first teams. Who would have thought the New England Patriots could have been in the driver's seat to do that? I mean, it was Washington Commanders last year. They were a team were able to, you know, really explode onto the scene with a rookie quarterback. They got the injury bug, so we know that's going to be sidelined for the foreseeable future at the very least. But the Patriots, on the other end, I mean, think about it. They've drafted pretty well, at least at the top end. They're starting to put together this offense. It's been a little bit of a, here's Stephon Diggs here. Can Kayshon Booty give you anything over here? Like, they have a couple of a misfit toy lineup, but the one thing about them is defensively they got a lot of guys, they got an inspired head coach, they have an easy schedule.
And then remember what you said in the offseason too, Colin. You said they had a lot of money. You know, we kept asking about the Patriots, we kept asking about some of these teams and what they're going to do in free agency. And the one thing you kept telling me is, Riz, they got a lot of money. They got a new head coach, and they got a lot of money, and they got a lot of draft picks. They're picking high in the draft.
And they still have the Jets, Dolphins, and Giants on the schedule.
And Trevion Henderson, you know, he finally had his big game against Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay is the top team in their division, and what you think of, you know, a threat coming up in the NFC playoffs. So for him to have that game at that time, I think is big, and it's just feeding off of the momentum of players stepping up for the Patriots. I mean, this is a team that was dead last in the division last year. And they're dead last.
They're starting to run, figure out how to run the ball properly with Travion Henderson. They're starting to figure out how to pass the ball properly because Drake May doesn't do too much, and they're able to just get through and win every game. And they're able to beat the teams they should beat. That is a recipe for a winning football
remember
game.
Remember when we were like, gosh, you know, we don't really see a worse to first. I mean, we were maybe talking about San Francisco. We were maybe talking about Chicago. Some of these teams that finished. It's probably the Patriots this year. The Patriots are probably going to be that only team from last year to go worse than first. Now, let's not count out Buffalo. Remember I told you a couple
not
of days
yet.
Ago. They're not dead yet. They'll probably win two games in a row and have 9 wins within 2 weeks. But at the same time, I mean, geez, 4 wins last year, new head coach, a free agency,
if they get their
and a draft.
If they get their 9th win tonight with still another game against the Jets, another game against the Dolphins, and a game against the Giants still on the schedule, plus a head-to-head versus Buffalo, it's going to be hard to dethrone them.
And you mentioned, too, last week, the path to the first overall seed. Their path to the first overall seed.
They're not thinking about division anymore. They're thinking about the number one overall seed.
It's comparatively easier for the teams that I'm going to bat for, like the Broncos in that defense, and some other, you know, great AFC teams right now.
Indianapolis.
It runs through New England because of that last place schedule.
And it's because they're playing in that NFC East.
But tonight is interesting because I mentioned to you the Jets have played well in the division. Not necessarily against Buffalo. I was wrong
They've
there.
They've been
but
competitive
30 to 10,
the last couple
listen,
weeks.
Listen,
they're going to muddy up every game they
right,
play.
Right, but I want to correct myself because the 30-10 loss, you know, they were never really in that game. They scored a garbage touchdown in the fourth quarter, but they were in that game against the Dolphins. So, like – And I mentioned those last 4 games where they've won 2 out of their last 4. It seems like they're playing inspired for the head coach. I'm not going to doomsday tonight's matchup. I said the same thing last week, and it bit me in the butt. I don't think it's going to be the same thing this week.
There's one thing about the pride, too. They don't want to get embarrassed. You know, 1-8 looks a lot worse than 2-7. And now maybe they got that second win. I don't know if that's going to continue. I think there's something about playing so you don't get humiliated, essentially, throughout the league. And these guys play in defense of that. And I don't know if that third win is going to be that motivating factor like that second win was. But it remains to be seen. We'll see it tonight on Thursday Night Football, which has not been lucky with a lot of high marquee matchups. But we'll see if Michaels and Herb Street can get lucky. We're at Amerant Bank Arena for Capitals Panthers tonight, 7 p.m. You can catch that game. And the Panthers at 8-7-1, coming back off a West Coast road trip, looking to kind of regarner some attention and some momentum at home. They've been good at home, 5-1-1 to this point this season in this building. So we're going to have a couple people to talk to, including John Colombo, who is the vice president of the Florida Panthers Foundation and the community relations here at Amerant Bank. We're going to have him live on site. Talk about Military Appreciation Night, which is tonight for starters, and there's another one later in March. But tonight we're going to be honoring veterans in honor of Veterans Day and Military Appreciation Night tonight. That will be at Amerant Bank Arena. That's all coming up after this. It's Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3.
David Wyclef, I'm more the man.
Let's get back to the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios. This is Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3.
Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios up in West Palm, but we're down here in Sunrise. You've been in that car accident, truck accident, suffered a slip and fall. You got to listen up because my friends Mark Anajar and Glenn Levine at Anajar and Levine Accident Attorneys are the type that fight for you, and they don't even charge you unless you win. They work tirelessly to get you the maximum compensation that you deserve. Don't settle for just any attorney. Demand the best. Demand Anajar and Levine today because that's the difference. All it takes is that one phone call. Take back control of your life today. Don't wait. Call for the free consultation now. Call 1-800-747-FREE. That's 1-800-747-3733. Take back control now with Anajar and Levine. Amerant Bank Arena. We got Panthers Capitals tonight, 7 p.m. It's also Military Appreciation Night tonight, November 13th. And also, it's going to be down there in March as well. So you got 2 this year, 1 in honor of Veterans Day. We'd like to welcome in John Colombo, who's the vice president for the Florida Panthers Foundation and the community relations right here at Amerant Bank, live with us now. John, I appreciate the time. What's going on?
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
So tell us a little bit about what went into this night. I mean, I assume you decided to do Military Appreciation Night in the same week, first home game since Veterans Day?
Yep, absolutely. So every year we do our Veterans Day game. Obviously, for the Panthers, it's a huge initiative that we really focus on. So usually we do 2 throughout the year, 1 the first half of the season, 1 the second half of the season. So we always try to target the first one around Veterans Day. Obviously, it's a month-long for celebration on our side, so it's great. And then we're able to come back around in March and do it all over again.
Now, tell us a little bit about the initiative itself and getting veterans involved, getting the fans involved. One thing I do notice about it, because you honor veterans every time we have a home game. And I do see that it's always the best applause of the night. I think it's very good in terms of the people, the Florida Panther fan, really appreciating what veterans do and everything like that. But tell me a little bit about taking that next step with this initiative with a night like tonight where there's a whole ordeal surrounding it.
Yeah, I think it starts at the top with our ownership. Vinny Viola, West Point grad, obviously huge passion, family, very dedicated. A lot of our leadership on the business side comes from background of military, Navy SEALs, Army, West Point guys. So for us, it just fits into our DNA of who we are as an organization. So every night we have our BioSTEM Heroes Among Us program. We honor a veteran every night. To date, we've done over 500 veterans. We've done over 100 World War II veterans. So we're lucky. We're very lucky to tell those stories on a nightly basis. So for us, it's a huge impactful thing to be able to sit back and say, hey, these guys are, you know, served our country, made huge sacrifices, and we're able to go out and do that. And that's kind of always been like the highlight of our game every single night. You know that the military hero is going to come out and, you know, have a really cool experience. But, you know, the real impact is being able to talk with the families after the fact. You know, especially some of the older guys, this is the last time the families get together. So it's a really deep, impactful thing to hear. You know, that they get those stories, and a lot of them, they're hearing those stories for the first time. It might be something that our veteran maybe didn't feel comfortable opening up to among his family, and they're just like, wow, I'm hearing stories about his service for the first time, which is a really cool experience for us.
And you got to imagine that sports is a great unifier in that regard, right? And I'm sure, like, seeing that not only are these veterans sometimes hockey fans, I'm sure some of them are not, depends, but it's a great unifier, what sports can be, not only to honor veterans, honor guys, people who served, but also I think the idea around sports is what it brought in from ownership. It's meant to unify, and I think on a night like this does a great job in doing so. Am I wrong?
Yeah, I think this tonight puts a bow on everything that happened during Veterans Day. On Veterans Day here, we had 75 veterans and their families. They came out and had lunch with us, so we work with Feeding South Florida and Publix on a special day where they come out, they have a barbecue, and really just enjoy themselves. So then tonight's kind of the culmination of it. We'll have the Army out here. We'll have the Navy out here. We'll have Southern Command out here. We have a tank pulling in right now. Really just cool experiences. We have our Panthers Warriors, who's a hockey team that's focused on rehabilitation from PTSD through the game of hockey. So, you know, they invite out veterans at little to no cost to be able to come out, play hockey with a bunch of other veterans. And really a lot of it's like a form of therapy for them. So really just a great chance for us to bring out our community partners that live in the community space, you know, and then really just be able to highlight a lot of different initiatives that happen throughout the year.
And then, John, your Heroes Among Us program, you know, it's honored 500 military members. Fans could actually nominate some of their family members that have been in the military. Am I correct on this?
Absolutely. You can go to FloridaPanthers.com. You can nominate your family members, your friends, whoever you'd like to nominate. We are always taking nominations, so it's a really great experience. And, you know, for us, we're really, our goal is always to tell their story in the best possible way.
And John Colombo joining us now, the Vice President of the Florida Panthers Foundation and Community Relations down here at Amerant Bank Arena. You can also write letters to troops.
Yep.
Am I wrong there? How does that work?
So out here before the game, we'll be working with Mission United, which is a branch of the United Way that focuses strictly on veterans. And so what their real focus today is they really focus on dealing with the veterans. They're the people that are there after the veterans return home from service. They help them with a lot of different, you know, bureaucrat paperwork, red tape, and that's their real goal. But today what they're doing is they're out on our Publix Plaza focused on writing letters to troops. They're going to deliver them themselves. So if you're coming out to tonight's game, stop by, grab yourself a letter, take 5 minutes to write to the heroes, and you know it's going to go to some people who really deserve the thanks.
And the military theme, you know, shirts, jerseys, all that's going to be at Pantherland, and also the pucks, the mystery pucks, the mystery signed pucks. You could do all that here at the arena coming up tonight, correct?
Yep. You can do that at you can do that here at the arena. You can stop by. All the proceeds for all of the foundation stuff goes right back into the military in the local market. So, you know, different things like that. So we're really focused today on highlighting our community organizations that support veterans and really just being able to tell their stories.
And one thing about you is you've been with the Panthers over 10 years now, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Did you always want to work in hockey? Did this sort of just come about?
I think, it just kind of came. And, you know, I've fallen in love with the sport. I think, you know, obviously, once you're here live, it's, you know, like nothing else. I think it's a very fast-paced sport. You'll once you come once, you're hooked. And I think, like, for me, you know, we've developed, obviously, in the last 10 years, a ton more fans. So it's been a really great experience, and it's been a ride over these 10 years.
And what's it been like, just the back-to-back cups? I mean, that's got to be – it's surreal at this point.
Yeah. In my wildest dreams, I didn't think, you know, that's where we would go. But, I mean, I think it's a credit to our ownership really coming in and committing. I think that's, you know, in any sport, you have a firm commitment of ownership here at the top, and that's where it started. And they found the right GM in Bill Zito, and were able to turn around a franchise that, you know, was really on the cusp of struggling mightily, and, you know, could have went a lot of different ways here. But, like, thankfully – we had the right people in the right places at the right times, and we're really lucky that we're in the position we're in.
Were you raised a hockey fan, John?
You know, all sports, really. You know, I'm more a baseball, basketball.
But you're a Connecticut guy.
I am a Connecticut guy.
So it's similar to me. Like, I grew up, like, I was a little closer to, you know, it's Rangers or Islanders. Islanders is more on Long Island, but I grew up a little bit more on the Islanders side of things. But, I mean, I grew up watching hockey. I was a fan of hockey, but I can't say it was at the forefront of what I was a fan of until I got a little older and started being able to, like you said, go to games. So where did this hockey love, where did this kind of start to you? Were you a Ranger guy growing up?
Yeah, grew up Rangers. Definitely like 1994.
You know,
was huge.
Yeah, and
huge year.
Stanley Cup for sure. And that'll hook anybody. But
yeah, that hooked me, 8 years old. So for me, that's where it really started. And, you know, from there, we were able to, you know, once I came down here, you know, really didn't, you know, think of hockey in the middle of the Everglades, but, you know, came here and, you know,
That cup runs through the state of Florida now.
Yep. And if there's a winning team right now in the state of Florida, because, I mean, the Miami Dolphins, I mean, if I'm allowed to say, are not doing too hot. And Miami Heat, still a great team, still a great franchise. But the Florida Panthers have sort of taken the foothold of the community of South Florida. So tell us a little bit about, you said, you know, winning kind of cures all. Winning brings people into the building. But you have the Panther fans that are the faithful, the diehards. And then you also have the people that you've kind of captured with the winning, with the success, with the team, with the investment from the community, with people such as yourself that are getting in the community and doing these type of initiatives to capture more fans. What has the last 5 years looked like in terms of capturing the thousands and thousands of more fans right here locally in South Florida?
Yeah, I think, you know, it starts at the top. I mean, I think, you know, we want to put sticks in kids' hands. So offering school programming around that, having our Learn to Play program, which is a low-cost program for you to be able to get in and play hockey. You know, for us, really just growing those numbers has been incredible. For us, hockey in South Florida actually grows at about 16% a year, which
wow,
is incredible.
Oh, wow, there's a number attached to it at 16%.
Which is about seven times the national average. So, like, you're seeing a space where we've been building rinks and markets. There's a new rink up in Boca. Our new practice facility downtown, you know, is two new sheets of ice. So, you know, we're becoming a hockey market, you know, very quickly. And, you know, even our school programming, when I got here 10 years ago, we didn't have hockey played in classrooms, and now we're in 577 schools. So you really, you know, the winning has just opened up so many doors and so many eyeballs, and I think, you know, South Florida's really taken to the game.
And John Colombo, the vice president of Florida Panthers Foundation, live with us at the Amerant Bank Arena. All right, Panthers so far this season, 8-7-1. You know, it's been up and down, you know, the injury issues. They're starting to look to get, my opinion with the Panthers, is get into the postseason. Get into the postseason, you're going to be the most feared team in the Eastern Conference, regardless of where you are. In terms of this part of the season, what has been your reaction to what you have seen, and what are the goals now that we're on the quest for a three-peat officially?
I think very simple. It's, you know, they're going to get healthy, and they're going to get healthy at the right time, and they're going to make a run again. So I think, you know, that's where we're at right now. Obviously, few injuries, guys are powering through on the other sides. Guys are picking up, you know, the slack, and that's kind of how this team is built. You know, very much everybody stands up for each other, and it's just a great team to watch, you know, up close. Is, you know, they just really believe in each other, and I think, you know, once everybody's healthy, and they're going to be ready, they're going to be ready come April.
And 5-1-1 at home, you know, home cooking. You're going to have a lot of games here coming up at home as well, so Panthers are definitely going to be taking advantage of the home ice here.
Absolutely. I think the Panthers on home ice is just, you know, our fan base has just been second to none. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, like we have always said, you know, if you provide South Florida a winner, they'll come out in droves, and I think they do every night. And so this next run over the next 6 weeks is going to be really critical, and I think, you know, we're going to get a lot of W's here and, you know, just claw right back into place.
Now, John, if fans wanted to learn more about these initiatives that you guys are doing with the Community Relations Military Appreciation Night, where can they go to see more?
Yep, you can go to Florida Panthers Foundation.org, or you can check out our website at floridapanthers.com. And, you know, you can just find out all about everything we do in the community.
Well, John, we appreciate you giving us the time here live on site. Hopefully we see a Panther victory tonight against the Capitals, 7 p.m. And looking forward to talking again soon, all right?
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Sean.
You got it. John Colombo joining us live on site at Amerant Bank, the Vice President for Panthers Foundation and Community Relations here. Mike Rizzo, Colin Russo, Christian Catt. We'll take a time out here. Russo and Rizzo, ESPN 106.3.
Let's get back to the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios. This is Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3.
Mike Rizzo, Colin Russo, Russo and Rizzo, ESPN 106.3, live from Amerant Bank Arena, where we got Panthers Capitals tonight. Panthers 8-7-1, Capitals also 8-7-1, 17 points apiece. Panthers going to have a little bit of a homestand here. Next about three, 4 weeks, we're going to be seeing a lot of Panther games home on site. Hopefully, you can get back on track and rumble back towards the top of the Eastern Conference. If you want to bet tonight's game, you want to bet on tonight's game on Thursday Night Football with a little Patriots-Jets action. You want to get involved in college basketball, you want to get involved in college football, it's all in the app. And what app is that? Hard Rock Bet.
Yep, absolutely, folks. Hard Rock Bet. And I'm going to keep saying this for a couple more weeks here because I know we got the Snowbirds in town. If you don't have the Hard Rock Bet app downloaded, Snowbirds, it's the only place to gamble here in South Florida. So I want you to do me a favor. Go to the Apple App Store, go to Google Play Store, download the Hard Rock Bet app, because if you deposit $5 and you bet that $5 on a game and you win, you're going to get $150 instantly in bonus bets. You hear me talk about the 100 all the time. It's boosted odds for games, specials on games, parlays, etc. Whenever you get 100 bets on those specific boosted odds, it moves on to the next one. So only 100 people can take advantage of those great boosted odds on the bets. So take a look at the 100 too once you download the app. Folks, you got Jets in New England tonight, and you got the Capitals and our Panthers. I'm gonna pick both these games. All right, Colin, I love the Jets. I told you I like the Jets at plus 13. I like the under. I like it kind of be a hard-fought game. Last two games for the Jets, there's been a lot of points. I think it's going to go back to the two before that. You're going to have to go back four games when it was about 13-6, 13-11, when the Jets mudded things out. I'm going to go Jets plus 13, and then the under at 43. And how can't you be on the Panther puck line tonight? I mean, geez, the goal line's minus 1.5. Panthers are 5-1-1 at home. Give me all that with their good friends at Hard Rock Bet. Offered by the Sun Belt Tribe of Florida. Must be 21+. Physically present in the state of Florida to wager. Terms and conditions apply. If you're concerned about gambling, call 1-833-PLAY-WISE. That's 1-833-PLAY-WISE.
Colin Russo, Mike Rizzo. So yesterday we had a bit of a conundrum where we had to deal. Mike and I are coaching a youth basketball team, 7th and 8th grade boys, up there in Palm Beach Gardens with a great little association that is totally not corrupt at all. And Steve Politziner is our president of Good Karma Brands and one of the vice presidents of this said league. He is live in studio in ESPN West Palm. To apply a little pressure before we get started, Mike and I had our first game on Tuesday night with the 7th and 8th grade boys team, and this is the same league that we coached last year and had won one game, and we got destroyed every single game. We had such a dominant victory on Tuesday that by Tuesday night, one of our better players was removed forcibly by to another team. Because they're all right, we're taking this kid and we're putting him on a team that
needs
help.
I don't mind calling him out. It's Benji, president of the league.
President,
you heard him
Benji.
Yesterday.
So we did about 40 minutes on yesterday. We had Benji, the president, on. And he didn't have a straight answer for us. Classic politician talk. He had no straight answer for us. He could not answer for his crimes.
It's a bad look.
Luckily,
it's a bad look.
We got his right-hand man, Steve Politziner, who swears he's not involved in this matter. He's joining us. He's at the City Place Studios in downtown West Palm Beach. Hi, Steve. Welcome in. How are you?
These days, I'm here. Come in the studio, and you guys are not here.
So what is
why
this
does
knock?
This happen?
What is this?
What do you not, Steve, do you want to say?
Hang on. I mean, what is this?
Hold on. Do you want me to tell our marketing manager, Christina, that you know we're not going?
Nah. I wanted you guys to know after I've heard me get thrown under the bus. I've heard me get trashed by you guys the last couple days. I was here to face you guys in person, and you scheduled an 11th hour remote at the Panthers.
All right, we did it. Give me a break. First of all, Steve, who we see in office about once every moon cycle, is now with us live, and now we're dodging him. Steve, give us a break. How about you answer for your crimes really quickly,
okay,
and explain to everybody how you had nothing to do, allegedly, with taking off one of our better players on our youth basketball team just after one game. And mind you, Steve is coaching a different team that he is looking to win a title with his son on the team. Steve, go ahead.
Now, good job painting the picture, framing it. you know, in that way. Well done. You're good at that. So
getting air checked.
Yeah. Last year, right? So you guys are still like holding on to last year. Last year, you guys, first of all, it's great that you coach. You're volunteers. You're not dads. You don't have to do this. You don't have kids in the league. Like, you do it because you want to coach. You want to help kids have a great time and be better. So I really appreciate that. This year, you drafted a team. Good job, Colin, showing up at the evals and draft this year. Since you guys can't get away from last year, I did encourage you last year to show up to the evals and draft, which you did not do.
We did not.
I
had the text. I could go find them. Okay. Steve said, I got you guys covered. Don't worry about the draft.
I'll go see if I can defend myself. I was working. I had Inter-Miami, and I was unable to do it on Saturday. Appreciate you doing that.
Yeah. So Colin went ahead and did that. You drafted a team. Good job. We all wanted to make sure, not that you had some loaded team, just that you had a competitive team this year. So, you know, even at the draft, we're like, yeah, Colin, good pick there, or, you know, go with that there. You did a nice job. And you did. You did a very nice job, you know, at the draft. So then you have your game. And what happens is when you run these rec leagues, we give parents deadlines and they don't hit the deadline. And so we miss it. We draft the teams, but then we still maybe have a few spots available. And other parents come and say, hey, is there a spot? And then at that point, we just sort of randomly assign. And that's what happened, right? We assign somebody to your team, Then it turns out, right, whether you had played a game or not. Now, it's unfortunate that you already played a game. But whether you played a game or not, the analysis, I wasn't there. I was out of town. You need my travel records? I was in Atlanta. And I get a call from the president of the league that says, "We're going to modify this team. There's other teams that will likely get modified in other leagues. In fact, it's already happened.
Don't mention the other teams. Yep. No. Do not mention. He called you and said, we need to modify this team. What was his reasoning to why?
Yeah, he said, it's going to be unfair and unbalanced, and we don't want what happened to you guys last year to happen to other people. Okay. And that's the point. You guys want... What happened to you last year to somebody else?
Of course we want that. That's ridiculous.
That's ridiculous. I hear Mike Rizzo saying, we're going to beat everybody by 50. What is the point of coaching?
No,
so 8th, 7th, and 8th grade kids can lose by 50 because you last year lost by 50? That's a joke. That's a joke.
You left yourself in the middle of the ocean bleeding.
No, you left yourself out in the middle of the ocean with your triathlon.
Colin, our kids, myself and Colin, we lost by 60 points one game.
Yeah, why should anyone have to endure that this year?
Because we did.
Yeah, and listen,
Steve, you want to talk about being fair? I'll tell you what's fair. Have somebody else deal with great kids. Mike and I, those kids.
We take a bullet for those kids.
Yep.
Not the most basketball inclined team I've ever seen in my entire life. I think they would agree with me. So that's the point.
So parity is always like the name of the game. And you guys would have ended up with like two first round picks. But my highlight of it was when Rizzo has been saying for the last 2 days, screaming, this kid's going to be devastated that he's off our
team. Devastated. Yeah,
I know.
I heard he was devastated. I didn't reach out to the parent,
but I know who did. And I said, was he upset? And he was like, no, they could care less. I was moved to another team.
I'm not buying that. They're saying this to justify. That's a narrative.
He was in tears because he was leaving our team.
Steve.
And they're trying to paint a picture that this was the right move. I will say this.
I didn't do it. So, right, I have to recuse myself because I am a coach.
The funny part is you're like, I didn't do it. I wasn't there. I mean, it's like you're ordering the attacks. You're in the Oval Office.
I'm the general.
Like you feel, in the end of the day,
I'm not even the president of the league.
In the end of the day, you're in the room where they're announcing. I was in the room.
They got the monitors up. You're in these rooms.
The child is the one that's suffering here. That's the biggest, you know, that's the biggest disturb. The child is the one that's suffering. And listen, come to find out, how about this, Kyle? All right, we're up about, you know, 15 points. You know, 15, it's, you can erase that in a minute. I'm getting told, you know, hey, you can't press. Hey, it's only going to count as one bucket. Where's this last?
Yeah, it's called the mercy rule.
Where was this last year? I don't know where that was last year because the rule existed last year.
I think it was at 20.
I think it was at 20 last year. I made, after that day, I told you, I've told this story about two times now on the air.
You know, you guys joke around. I was, you know, good high school player. You know, very competitive.
Oh, great.
That has a lot to do with this situation, Steve.
What I'm saying is, AAU. We've been. My teams have been outmatched. My AAU teams growing up been outmatched. My high school teams been outmatched.
I see where you're going with this.
Never lost like that a day in my life. I've never had an embarrassment like that. Steve, I sat in my car for about 5 minutes before I pulled out of the lot, losing by 60 points last year.
It hurts.
Contemplating everything. I'm ruining the experience for the kids.
But two wrongs don't make a right. That shouldn't have been.
These kids. No.
I'll build off this. When you lose games like that, and I lost games like that too growing up too, I going in, the New York Gauchos, you know, these famous like playing guys who were Division I players. My brother, who Carl Anthony Towns was playing three levels below, he got destroyed by 80 points. It's part of growing up. It's part of life. I'd make the argument that this is beneficial for the kids. I think our kids were better off because they lost 6 by 60 points.
I agree.
They're developing thicker skin.
Yeah.
Steve,
your kids had a great time last year. Now, it shouldn't have happened that way, but your kids had a great time.
Yeah.
I make an argument that losing games like that and having a team that is so bad that it's almost fun, it adds a little character. It thickens the skin a little bit. I'd argue that you're taking that away for that future bad
team. It's time
for
us to power trip a bit. I'm going to be completely honest. It's time for us to power trip a bit after what the two coaches had to go through last year. I'm trying to win by as many points as possible. Collin's not going to be at that game. Collin's not going to be at that game on Saturday.
Right, and just for the record.
But I'm going to be there, and we're going to try to win.
Of course.
Try to eviscerate teams.
Your team's loaded. Right? If you're gonna be expected to win every single game. Your team is loaded. You have a good job with your draft, and you know a wrong was righted in the free agency market. But there should be no. You're making it seem like we're gonna try to win. You're the best team in the league. I find it
hysterical that they've never taken a player off of a team. And the two coaches and the kids who had to suffer the most last year, that's the team the year after.
We have done it many, many times.
Oh,
we've done it many times.
Funny you brought that up.
Many times. You know how many years? It is like eighth year in this role.
You're dead wrong here. Steve, I'll tell you why. You're dead wrong.
Spare me on that.
We had Benji on yesterday, who's the president of the league, who's Steve's, you know, right? The vice president of this guy running the show. And Benji joined us yesterday, and I asked him, before we finished out the call with him, we talked to him for about 15 minutes, I said, Benji, I'm going to ask you one more thing, and we'll let you go. When this happened last year, and parity was a major, major issue, look no further than what the team Mike and I had. When this was an issue last year, did you or did you not take off players off the top team and put them on the bottom team, yes or no? He goes, no.
We did not last year, which was a big mistake. Right, we have other years.
Now we're learning from more mistakes.
Yeah, we have other years. You know, you have to constantly evolve.
You know, here's my also problem. We haven't even brought this up yet. Steve and Benji both have not only children in this age group in this league. Steve is coaching a team. And Benji's like interim coach for everybody just in case something comes up.
Yeah.
But Steve is spearheading a team himself. He is coaching a team with championship aspirations.
Yes, yes. And Benji told us, you know, he goes, well, if I'm being honest, even without, you know, the player we took off your team, you're still 2-1 to win the league. And Steve's at 3-1.
So, Steve, you were totally on board with this, by the way.
I think Uncle
because
Steve
you
was
saw here. That, all right, this machine master. Is going to lose a little bit of a cog that's important to their success. And I get more of a shot at winning a championship. So let's cripple and take off a limb of this perfect machine that
incorrect.
Mike and I had formed.
Incorrect,
via the draft.
Incorrect. No, and whether this is right or wrong, I have probably head coached 30 rec teams across my two kids, basketball, flag football, and baseball. And I think I have 1, 2, 3, 4 total championships to show for it. That either says I am not a good coach or my priorities are different. And it is for kids to have a great time. And to want to continue to play. And so I told you guys that before. And Rizzo comes on here. And
you don't coach 30 times. You don't coach 30 times because you don't want to win. You don't coach 30 times because you don't want to win.
Quickly, Uncle Steve.
You're dead wrong. That kid, let's call it. We see it. You don't coach 30 times if you don't want
to
win.
That kid goes from playing with Russo and Rizzo to playing for a dread of the league. The child is getting a disservice here.
Yeah. His parents seem really upset. Now, one other thing.
I am making a formal appeal to the league. I am appealing to the league about
okay, good. I'm the league. Denied.
I am officially appealing to the league.
You should know this. You have. We have looked, and there is no tiebreaker for score differential. So if you're running up the score, you're just running up the score for your own satisfaction, Rizzo. There's no, like, you know, I know a lot of times, a lot of times there is like a fourth, fifth, sixth tiebreaker in point differential, and coaches always cloak. They're running up the score under, hey, well, it could be a tiebreaker. It's not a tiebreaker for us.
They didn't take it easy on us last year. We got no sympathy from coaches last year. They didn't take out
their kids. Doesn't everybody make the playoffs?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah,
but
everybody makes postseason. What difference does it make?
No, but you're seeding. You're seeding. We've had to go two or three deep on the tiebreakers.
Is it a little personal, Steve? All right, what's the point you're trying to make is here? I'm making it personal. Damn right I am. Damn right I am. I got no sympathy last year for having the worst, Colin and I having the worst team in the league. They ran up the score against us. And you know the son of a gun that I have a real problem with. You know that guy I got a real problem with. Looked at me in the playoffs, go, are you even a coach? Yeah. I go, well, excuse me? Excuse me? So, you know, if I see that guy around, you know, it might be some words. But other than that, I don't have anything against any of these other coaches
now,
other than that
Steve
individual.
Steve has to deal with an internal conflict where two coaches are coming after each other in the middle of the game.
I'm just going to give him some words.
Hey, I appreciate it. I always go back to it's great you guys are coaching.
And the worst
you don't
part
have
is,
to.
Worst part is I find out that this no-names please guy is a good guy. We want a good guy to me.
Here's right, what
I remember that stuff.
Okay, well, you should judge it on from your own interaction.
Steve Palazzino, the Palm Beach Sports Commission Hall of Famer, the Good Karma Brands president, and the Palm Beach Gardens youth basketball vice president with us now on Russo and Rizzo. No, Steve,
good job. Good job on my title.
You don't coach 30 teams if you don't want to win. That I can't listen to this. Steve is trying to high and mighty us, so I'm just looking for the – I'm sure. Yes, it's a byproduct. You want the – of course we want everybody to have a good time. But Steve sitting here telling me that he doesn't care about winning when he's 30 seasons deep.
It's on the list.
It's a hard pill to swallow. It's a hard pill to swallow.
I will forward you my welcome to my team emails, and you will see what is emphasized.
Oh yeah, they're gonna. Yeah. You know,
you know,
the funny part is I've seen.
We know you guys are not known for reading your emails, but I'll try to get them over.
All right, see, look at this. Now he's deflecting. Yeah. So it's funny. You know, Steve sends these open emails. Oh, looking forward to the kids having a great time. It's gonna be like a summer camp. Then you show up to practice. It's like Bobby Knight throwing the chair onto the court.
I had to send a message last night. I had to say one player thought you could just check your cell phone when I tell everyone to get a water. It set me off.
All I know is Uncle Steve gives out LVPs.
Yeah.
LVPs in a rec league.
Yeah.
Fair play to you.
Yeah, that's what I said. I just wanted the kids to have fun.
One thing I'll say about us.
You don't want to be the LVP of practice.
One thing I'll say about us is I think our approach to coaching youth basketball, I do think we come at it with the right perception of – hey, we're just trying to have a loosey-goosey, easy practice. We don't necessarily ask too much out of these kids.
Yeah, you run a great practice.
I think that's a good thing. That's a good thing. And comparatively to Steve, where, you know, drill sergeant, you know, they're folding the flag, making sure everything's doing it right.
I know what you're talking about. And you had the kid on your team last year, and he wasn't doing proper jump stops in his layups. And something has to give.
Something has to be said.
Yeah.
Something has to be said. You're like a Hurley Senior mentality.
I mean, screen so it doesn't look like we're moving.
It's a little Hurley coded. It's a little Hurley coded.
We talked to a former player. He goes, I miss you guys.
Your practices were a lot easier than Steve's.
Yeah, I'll trade you to him. I'll trade him to you.
We'll take our other first round pick while you're at it.
Yeah. Yeah. How's that one? I'll take that one kid.
Take our other first round pick while you're at it. Other than that, Steve Palazzino. But your team's pretty good, right? You guys are 1-0?
Hey, you know what? We're only as good as our last game. We're only thinking about our next game.
I talked to Steve's son, you know, Ev. We love him. I'm on a trade for Ev. Ev, did you guys win? He goes, yeah, we won by like 20. We blew him out. They're a contender.
We made a bunch of shots. We got lucky that game. I told our team last night, game's over.
Hey, Steve, I got news for you.
It's like Hurley 44-3, shooting out Alex.
That game's over. And they were missing kids.
How about this?
I didn't even look at the tape. There's nothing to learn from that game.
So, do you record the games?
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you watch the film?
No, I don't watch the film.
So
yeah, I record them for my Snapchat like once. You know, I try to get one Snapchat per game.
Your Uncle Steve's sitting there going, oh, we were bad at this. We were lucky. I got news for you, Steve. We were great. You're going to be in trouble.
Yeah,
you're
that's going to be the game of
we
the year.
We were great.
So circle the date when we play. I actually already know when we play. Because I'll be out of town. So
you're kidding.
No,
you're not going to be here,
dude. I invited the whole office.
We're playing Steve Politziner Tuesday the 16th of December.
Well, if we move that, then maybe.
Can you move it? You can move that. We'll you're the vice president.
Where are you going,
Steve? If you could yank players off of rosters, yeah. you could switch around a team.
You know how you guys have a day job or whatever this is. Arguably, I have a day job too.
You're going to make it to be in New York. Uncle Steve's going to be at the New York office. Okay.
All right. Steve, we only play you once in the regular season. I wonder whose decision that was.
Who's his assistant? Who's his assistant? Great guy we see all the time.
Kenny.
Shout out, Kenny. Sorry.
Who has basketball coaching experience.
Yeah.
Steve brought in a collegiate basketball coach to help the team.
Just a retired guy.
Oh, we're just here for them, making sure everybody's having a good time. Let's bring in three college coaches.
Yeah, we play Duck, Duck, Goose, and, you know.
Be ready.
Hang out.
We're going to be ready Saturday, too, for Benji's team. We're going to be ready.
I mean, we better win every game.
2 o'clock? Is that 2 o'clock
it's
on Saturday?
It's 2 o'clock, and listen.
And it is open to the public, by the way. The Palm Beach Gardens Rec Center. You can show up.
I am. I'm going to be completely honest with you, too. It's the first game alone. So, I got a lot to prove to the kids. I got a lot to prove to myself.
We should start charging people at the door, get a concession stand going. Steve, you could turn this into a little
business. There is. We have Chick-fil-A outside. I mean, we have a lot of –
Chick-fil-A outside.
Kid was freezing his butt off. Yeah. You didn't see him? He was freezing his butt off.
Where was the Chick-fil-A? Did they have Chick-fil-A last year?
It was right by the entrance.
We never had Chick-fil-A last year.
Correct, because we were at a different location. This year,
he was there Tuesday. I gave him two. I had $2 change. He's freezing as you know what office.
He was outside?
Thanks for being here. Yeah, he was freezing. I gave him a $2 tip for sitting outside.
Was he selling it?
Yeah. What do you mean? What was he doing? What else would he be doing?
I don't know.
Like, you want to know what he was doing? He was slinging chicken.
Yeah.
Wow. I didn't realize we had that. Where'd he go? I must have slipped by.
I had the mobile food scenario. It's all out there. There's a lot of effort goes into putting this season together. And then you got you guys who just come and take shots. Whiners.
Steve, you took away.
You guys haven't given us one
reason
why you guys made a mistake, and just because you made a mistake does not mean you could just rescind it after, especially when you played a game. The roster should be locked in.
And
you screwed up. I think you're allowed to admit it now.
Check the fine print of the bylaws.
You're allowed to admit.
And Uncle Steve, listen.
You think you screwed up.
You have your sources. You have your sources. I have my sources. I heard he was devastated. I heard the child was devastated.
Steve, when he quits the league and you lose a player because he doesn't want to play for anybody but Russo and Rizzo's team because he got a taste of what winning feels like, then I got nobody to look at other than President Benji and Vice President Steve.
Correct.
Okay.
That's where you get burned.
We will take it under advisement.
Steve, who do you think is going to win the AL MVP tonight? You think Judge is going to win it?
I've seen so many analysis back and forth that as a Yankee fan, I do like there's a lot of validation for Judge, but Raleigh just being a catcher.
It's swung in a betting odds.
Yeah,
too.
But I also think like that's the name. You know, the betting odds also have a little bit of more like a PR factor to them. Like who is Vegas is doing it. It's like, who are you more likely to pick based on a lot of other factors, popularity. It's like every year when you look at odds with the Yankees and the Lakers and things like that. If there is a year to not give it to Judge, you could say this might be the year, although Judge had nothing around him for a lot of the season, you know, this year. But Raleigh playing a catcher, you just don't have chances for catchers to win these awards anymore. So I would be fine either way.
I think Raleigh's going to win it. I hope Raleigh wins it. I think Judge
was also hurt, too. He missed some of the year.
Oh, okay. All right, making a couple. Steve, what's going on with Duffy's really quick?
What isn't, guys? Because Duffy's has it all for you this football season. Full roster of new football features. The barbecue. I mean, it's not even new anymore. We're into the football season. The barbecue pulled pork nachos, the double smash burger, the touchdown tots with the two different sauce scenarios, the Duffy's award-winning wings, which we all know about. 17 different flavors of wings to choose from. I don't know if you guys knew that. 2-for-1 drinks all day, every day, the game day buckets. And, of course, any game on any of the 80 TVs at Duffy's. No one does football season like Duffy's. Visit your local Duffy's Sports Grill at Duffy's. Our game is always on. Maybe your guys' games will be on. Maybe we'll stream them at Duffy's, games.
You know what? There's enough TVs for it. We could definitely get the whole league on there. Steve, we appreciate it. Looking forward to talking again next time.
Thanks, Uncle Steve.
Have fun at the Panthers, guys.
Steve Politziner of the Good Karma Brands, President Mike Rizzo, Colin Russo. Next hour, coming up after this on ESPN 106.3.